Welcome to Three and Out, your national NFL podcast featuring three sports media pros. Me, Ty Schalter from 538, joined by Samantha Bunton of NBC Sports and Michael Shoddy of the 33rd team. It's time for this week's big show where we go long on big NFL topics. We also have a big guest for you, just like always, Mina Kimes. If you somehow do not know who Mina is, she's an award-winning journalist, NFL analyst, senior writer, podcast host, and television contributor for ESPN. She also got her own podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, her dog, wherever you get your podcasts. And it is truly a big show. There's a ton of NFL news to get to. Roger Goodell is in front of Congress. We will get to that with Mina. Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement again. We will talk about that as well. Before we get to any of that, we do need to acknowledge the deaths of two Ravens. Jalen Ferguson, 26 years old, just a tragic, senseless loss just a couple of years after being drafted in the third round. And Tony Siragusa, Ravens legend, part of that original 2000 Super Bowl team, became an amazing sideline personality and host on TV. Just a really, really tough loss. Our condolences go out to everybody in Baltimore and in the Ravens family and everyone connected to Jalen Ferguson or Tony Siragusa. A weirdly bizarre up and down all over the place, big day in the NFL. Of course, if you are paying any attention to the NFL, you know that today, as we record this on Wednesday, Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, went before Congress over Zoom and answered questions pertinent and not to the investigation of the toxic and potentially federally law breaking federal employment law breaking culture around the Washington football team and its various names over the decades. We're going to dig into that with Mina because, of course, she's been all over this. There's other news that broke today, and we're going to get to that news. Before we do that, please subscribe. Go ahead and subscribe wherever you're listening to this, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, on Spreaker.com, on our website, 3outpod.com, right on Twitter. We're 3outpod on Twitter, 3outpod on Instagram. We've got a YouTube channel, all that stuff. Just go to our website, 3outpod.com. All of our streams and info and content is there. Subscribe, rate, review, spread the word, because we love doing this. We are super excited to do this again with Mina. We're going to keep doing it twice a week, every week, just like we always do. But guys, it's not every week. I mean, it's not every week Rob Gronkowski retires. It's like some weeks that Rob Gronkowski retires. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end has quote unquote retired again, but also in the same breath left the door open for himself to unretire again. Samantha, what do you think about this news?
I will just go back to what I said after Tom Brady retired last time and say, I will never believe anyone who says they are retiring ever again from sports in any capacity, because it seems to me that the only people who are actually retiring the first time they say it are the people who like have to, as in like, I have no cartilage left in my knee, Julian right, Edelman. Right. Like, I literally cannot play football anymore. Anybody who says they want to spend more time with their family, or they want to go in another direction, or they're taking care of their mental health, or whatever it is this week, I don't believe you. I absolutely do not believe you. I don't understand the appeal of this either. Like, the dramatics of this, like, why do we need to do this? Why can't you just say, I haven't made any decisions about what I'm doing next year yet? Why do you have to fake retire and then unretire? I mean, Aaron Rodgers does it like six times a year, so he never actually makes it to the retirement part. Brady's done this. Gronk has done this. Why are we doing this? It's so terrible. I feel like as a news person, I feel somewhat obligated to like, I'm not covering this. I'm going to make a point and not talk about this, but we have to talk about it, which is endlessly frustrating to me. I wish people would stop doing this.
So I'm of two minds here, because on the one hand, I've always said, and it's one of my like core principles, like when you're done, be done. Like if you wake up in the morning and you're like, I kind of don't want to play football anymore. And I mean that both in the, like, if you're a professional football player and you've made your millions of dollars, like, just stop having something to prove, stop trying to go like win one more, stop trying to like, you know, grab a 10 more catches for whatever, you know, arbitrary benchmark you think you want to hit. Like, if you kind of sort of don't want to play football, just stop, because we know about the long-term side effects of playing football. And if you've already reached the top of your personal mountain, stop trying to climb. Because the worst thing that can happen is the sort of landslide avalanche of the last couple of years of your career, where the next 30 years of your life are just exponentially worse. The other thing is, like, if you kind of don't want to be there, that makes you an infinitely worse football player. You know, when you think of the top 1% of the top 1% get to where these guys get to, like, there is just a preternatural drive and desire to do what you're doing that you've had since you were like 8. And when that goes away because you're fulfilled spiritually or emotionally or whatever it is, please leave, because I don't want you to get hurt. I probably don't want to coach you anymore. You might still be a phenomenal athlete, but I don't think I want to coach you anymore. If you don't really want to be there, there are thousands of guys in the pipeline who do. And so I love Rob Gronkowski as a football player. I kind of sort of tolerate him as a person, not all the time. Like, I kind of wish he would, you know, I like his shtick, but I also kind of want him to grow up because I hate looking at him so often doing stupid stuff. But I don't think I would want to coach Rob Gronkowski if he doesn't really want to be there. That being said, I can almost guarantee that right now, if you're staring down like another season, and all of the things that are coming down the barrel of another season, training camp, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season, getting your body right, like, all of that doesn't really make sense to go play. If you get like an Eric Weddle deal where it's like, here's a big bag of cash to play a couple of games in whatever shape you're in, Gronkowski is totally coming back. This is not a guy who wows me with, or, you know, theoretically, I don't know about, I'm not looking at his ledger, but I feel like he probably doesn't have the best money management skills. So he probably has, you know, some impulse buys that he's going to need to finance toward the end of the season. And if you hand him like $3 million to play 3 games, the risk reward of that is not the same as, hey, get your body for a full NFL season.
Yeah, Tom Brady actually posted that meme because there was a quote in there about how, hey, if Tom Brady calls in the middle of the season, I'm coming. And Tom Brady posted the meme of like the grumpy guy in a polo shirt, like looking sideways on the phone, like, you know, OK, all right. So this is obviously prearranged. There was another retirement announcement earlier this week that caught my attention, though. Former Bengals cornerback and hashtag Spartan dog Trey Waynes tells the Geary and Stein Sports Show podcast that his football days are over. Quote, honestly, in my head, I'm done. I'm not officially doing it just because I don't give an expletive. So there you go, guys. Like, he doesn't care so much that he's not even bothering to announce his retirement. And I feel like this kind of satisfies both your requirements.
It also satisfies everything I've ever known about Trey Waynes as a football player. And I'm really sorry, because I actually kind of like the dude. I think I interviewed him coming out in the draft, but it's always like he never seemed like he cared that much about like his general. He was just a freak athlete, a great football player, but did not seem like he was overly enthused about the entire football process, which is also Gronkowski. Like, bring us full circle. Like, how much does Gronkowski love playing football? He's gonna go do like 30 crazy things, end up like hosting a TV show and a reality show, and he'll be on another reality show, and he'll do like 30 things. He'll be mediocre at all of them. People will love it, and he's gonna have the time of his life. And then again, he's gonna play like 3 more football games at the end of the season, and then retire again and do it all over again next season.
Yeah, and don't forget, skip practice in the meantime. Can we just have like a, hey, look, Gronk, you can show up to the games, you just don't need to practice. Because at this point, is Rob Gronkowski practicing doing anything for anyone? I don't think it does. So, talking about Rob Gronkowski anymore. It's not going to do much of anything for anyone. We have so much big NFL news to get to and such a big guest to get to it with. Mina Kimes is going to join us. We are going to talk about the Washington Commanders investigation, hearings before Congress, Roger Goodell, and everything else that Mina is into, which is everything right here on Three and Out, your national NFL podcast. Welcome back to Three and Out, your national NFL podcast. It is our midweek big show. And of course, we have a big guest for you, Mina Kimes. If somehow you don't know who Mina is, she's an award-winning journalist, NFL analyst, senior writer, podcast host, and television contributor for ESPN. Also host of her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, wherever you get your podcast. Mina, how's it going today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Appreciate you taking the time on this day when, you know, gosh, in a typical June, we would not have much to talk about. But this is the June where Roger Goodell went in front of Congress and testified earlier today about all of the goings on with the Washington Football Team franchise. I think for me, the top line is really 2009. Daniel Snyder is now, we know the House Oversight Committee knows, as someone who's been directly accused of sexual assault, that the team hired a lawyer to investigate it. And that lawyer reported directly to Daniel Snyder, the guy accused of the misconduct. And then Roger Goodell testified that he was not aware of that being brought to the league's attention. Of course, there's just an ocean of this stuff, as you tweeted about earlier. Is this enough to bring down Dan Snyder? Is anything enough to bring down Dan Snyder? What is your reaction to all of this?
Well, I think Roger Goodell himself kind of answered that question when he was asked if he himself could remove Daniel Snyder, and he said no, right? And ultimately, that's why he remains an owner, is because the other 31 owners have not. It wouldn't take all of them, but they have not decided to, you know, aggressively pursue or even consider. Right? Although, actually, there's been a little bit of smoke on that front with some of the, of course, rumors of financial wrongdoing, which would, of course, unsurprising, right? That's what it would take. But it seems remote as a possibility, because I think at this point so much has already come out that I don't blame fans and journalist or whoever for being a little bit jaded when it comes to the possibility of removing him, even with the revelations that have come out recently. You know, you're right that the top line kind of note was about Snyder himself being accused of sexual assault, and notably Roger Goodell. The NFL should know about that, should have known about that, and so that, yeah, I think is a question, yeah, that has to be hit. But when you read the report from the House Oversight Committee, for so long, I think, with allegations about the Washington Football Team, people have said, well, how much does Snyder really know about? How much does this really fall? Like, can you actually connect any of this to him? And I thought the report really just connected everything to him, not just the allegation against him, but yeah, allegations against other people. You've got multiple executives saying he knew about it, he brushed it aside. And then in more recent history, you have Snyder himself purportedly, you know, conducting a shadow investigation and intimidating witnesses. So this is not old news. All of that stuff just happened, and it really amounts to quite the case against him.
So we've talked about Dan Snyder on this show a lot, and I, for one, am happy to move on and not talk about Dan Snyder more. But how is Goodell doing? It's not every day you get to, you know, talk in front of Congress. Did you ever think that Roger Goodell, of all people, would need to be the defender of the NFL's so-called woke agenda, or that you'd hear like Dave Portnoy defended in a congressional meeting as if he's some, you know, poor lost soul?
Well, you know, having watched congressional hearings, it's not too surprising, because they often go off the rails and become about grandstanding for issues that have nothing to do with the topic at hand. So I guess not terribly surprised by some of the asides there. But as far as Goodell's role in all of this, I mean, he's doing exactly what he is being paid many millions of dollars to do, which is basically be a meat shield for one of the owners in this case, Daniel Snyder, who, of course, did not appear. And Goodell had to take the hard line of questioning, and that is why he is paid the big bucks.
So, switching gears a little bit, Rob Gronkowski has announced his retirement for now. So curious to get your take on this. Do you think that he is really permanently retired? And how do you feel about this trend that we've seen lately of players retiring, unretiring, retiring again, unretiring again?
You know, I kind of think he is, just because it would have been easy for him just to say he's kind of sitting out a while. And I feel like at a certain point, you only get so many fake retirements before people get a little bit irritated by it. I suspected that Gronkowski would just wait until much later in the season to join Tampa if he wanted to, but which could obviously still be on the table. But if that's the case, I don't really see then why he would announce his retirement. And, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a, I actually think maybe when people think about, you know, these retirements and unretirements or whatever, you do lose a little bit of the luster the second time around, because like Rob Gronkowski to me is one of, I believe he's the greatest to ever play the tight end position at his peak. And it kind of feels like, you know, the news came and people, it was like a little bit of a whimper, and it's kind of a, you feel like a player like that deserves like way more discussion and praise and, you know, I guess a consideration of his career, but that didn't really happen, I think, in large part because it was the second time.
I recently discovered that you and I had a life goal in common, which was to throw out the first pitch at our respective favorite baseball teams' games. And you recently fulfilled this life goal with the Seattle Mariners, and you did great. You got it over the plate and everything. That's harder than it looks, folks. So tell me everything about this. Did you get to warm up in the bullpen? Like, did your catcher do a good job of framing for you? Tell me everything.
Great is pretty generous. Sort of slowly meander towards the plate. I was really, you know, tickled when the Mariners reached out to me at the very beginning of the season and asked if it was something I'd be interested in doing. And, you know, I talked to my colleague Pablo Torre about preparing for it on his podcast, ESPN Daily. But I didn't really know what to expect when I got there. And so you get there a couple hours early and you kind of just hang out for a minute. And then about an hour before, you know, you're not on the field. I was just kind of in a hallway where they said, hey, if you want to practice throwing here, I guess that part of me thought I would be taken to the pen or something. I don't know why, but instead you're in a hallway and a Mariners employee came out with a mitt and asked if I wanted to do a few practice throws. And I'd been told, don't do too many because your arm might get tired. So I think I probably threw, I don't know, definitely under 10 pitches to her, all of which were, I think, better than the one I threw on the diamond. But so you do that, and then you kind of walk out and wait for about another 10 minutes. You know, the anthem's played, and then you get directed to the mound. But what was a little bit, unusual for me is I knew I wanted to start from home base because I had kind of paced out how far I wanted to be. And so that's how I ended up with this shot where I kind of look like the Mariners have really great social people, and honestly looked a little bit like a movie, but it was in part because of the direction I was walking in where they were following me over my shoulder.
Want to ask you, sticking in Seattle, about the Seahawks, and I'm getting some vibes out of the Seahawks organization, much as, you know, a bunch of years back when Tom Coughlin was towards the end of his career with the New York Giants, where it just seemed like there was a chasm now between like sort of the players in the organization and this head coach who is just a little bit older. And I think seeing Pete Carroll, who is maybe the most youthful man I have ever met, just at any age, he is just like oozes like teenage energy. And now he kind of seems like he's getting older, and maybe it's just that juxtaposition for me that is so weird, but like as a Seahawks, like more than casual observer, I don't know if I want to call you a fan because I know you're a journalist and you have some separation there, but you definitely like the Seahawks more than the average bear. Is Pete Carroll winding down? Should he be done? Do you think there's a little bit more grace that we should afford to him? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think he thinks he's winding down. I mean, he did just sign a big extension, and I think something that surprised me and a lot of people about this offseason was I expected after the Wilson trade, which, you know, I came about for like a wide variety of reasons involving both sides, I think, that Carroll would want to go after, aggressively go after, you know, one of the better quarterbacks and stay competitive and I not pursue a full rebuild given his age. But while I don't think the Seahawks team thinks that they are rebuilding, they certainly are not going to be, you know, a playoff contender this year. And I think they're probably aware of that. And so I think I've been surprised given the what we know about, you know, Carroll and how long he's been in the league and whatnot. And then the fact that he seems to be willing to, let's call it a retool on the fly. It's kind of what's made actually it's so hard to assess this Seahawks offseason, because it's been difficult to tell how they view themselves, honestly, and whether or not they think that they're in a rebuild or a retool or a reset or whatever. And so I think that Carroll's place in all of this has contributed to some of that confusion.
I mean, we started this as kind of an organic thing. I'm always trying to pick the brains of people in the sports media industry who are doing awesome work or have carved out a special niche or, you know, whatever. And it's kind of become, it turned into a running gag, and now it's just a regular feature. I basically end every interview with some question about the business. And, you know, Mina, when I first got my first national columnist job, I was kind of obsessed with establishing my credibility because I didn't play and I didn't coach. And there's no reason why anybody should listen to my opinions about football over anything else. And something I found is the wonkier and more technical and more correct I got with my analysis, the smaller the audience became. You slid over from non-sports journalism to sports journalism and have established yourself as one of the sharpest football analysts in the biz. Can I ask, how did you get to balance the broad appeal that you've got across all platforms and channels with knowing what you're talking about?
Well, I really appreciate that. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm glad you think so. I think generally my approach to whether it's, well, I would say, first of all, it varies depending on the platform I'm on. If it's my podcast, I think, you know, we tend to get a little bit more detailed and, you know, I'll throw in more numbers and we'll get a little bit wonkier than on TV, where you only have 45 seconds to a minute 15 or whatever to get a single point across. So I think you have to be kind of mindful of the audience. When I am on TV, I really try to blend things that I find interesting about football, whether it's statistical things or things that I've, you know, found from just watching on film or whatever, and try to position in a way that is palatable to a really widespread audience. And I think that's sort of the goal in all of this, right, is to be both entertaining and informative. And it's not always easy to make people kind of eat their vegetables while giving them some dessert at the same time. But I think that's what makes for good television.
All right. Well, if people want to follow along for vegetables, dessert, anything else, where can people follow your work?
So my podcast is called The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. You can check it out wherever you get pods.
All right. There she goes. Mina Kimes, NFL analyst, senior writer, podcast host, and television contributor for ESPN. Follow her podcast. Follow her on Twitter. Be prepared for excellent stuff as always. And stay tuned for more excellent stuff. We are going to dig into more of this Congress, Snyder, Goodell stuff on the other side of the break right here on 3 and Out, your national NFL podcast. We are back on 3 and Out, your national NFL podcast. Fantastic stuff, of course, from Mina Kimes, one of the very best doing it. We've got more big stuff to get to. Our big topic, our second big topic, is going to be our second and our third and everything all together. It's football on trial. I mean, not really football on trial. Roger Goodell talked to Congress as part of an ongoing investigation by Congress into the Washington football team and various DBs Gnome de games that franchise has gone by. So, you know, I think Mina summed it up really well, that tying Snyder to so many points of these investigations is a key part of this and a huge part of this. But Shadi, what were your, I don't want to say key takeaways because that's our other show, but what were your key takeaways from this hearing?
I just want to be done. And here's the thing, because like none of us really live that hardcore, like breaking news life that I think we all used to. And now you know, we all sort of have grown and matured past that into different roles. And so I don't have to live, breathe, and digest all this congressional testimony stuff like I would have, because I totally would have been the guy writing about the Zip Leach report 10 years ago. They absolutely would have been like, nope, no one else wants to do this. So it's a shoddy job. No one's going to read it, but we got to write about it. So give it to Mike. That was me. And I would have had to be sitting there like transcribing every word. And I'm so glad I'm not that dude anymore. And it just makes me feel so like over stuff like this, that really does not matter. This is minutia of minutia from the standpoint that no NFL fan cares about this. No NFL, even Commanders fans just want it to be done. They don't really care who's right, who's wrong, or where the line is. Is the league more at fault than Snyder? They just want to be done. They want to be football fans. Now, on the flip side of things, it matters intensely, because this is, you know, proof positive the NFL has like fostered like anti-labor law, you know, stuff for a generation, at least, if not, you know, its entire career or its entire existence. And all of this stuff is very important. It's important to the victims. It's important to the people it matters to. And because it matters to them, it's intimately important for the sake of the game that these things get cleared out and don't continue to happen. And truthfully should never happen again. So on both hands, I'm like, I don't like the NFL having a black eye any more than Roger Goodell and his shareholders want it to, because I just want to be a football fan. And the sooner we sort of root this stuff out, the better. But a congressional hearing isn't going to do that. And that's the thing. Like Mina said, this is just grandstanding. This is just the bullshit around what should happen, which is this has been going on for too long. He's given the NFL and the franchise he owns far too much of a black eye. He's got to be done, and they got to make that decision. They got to have the wherewithal to do that. And whatever we can do as the media or as fans to hasten that, you know, heaven help us, we're going to do it, because I'm over it. I'm just over it, because it's been far too long.
I agree. And for me, yeah, the frustrating thing about this is that there's nothing that's really actionable on the part of Congress here that's going to do anything to change this. So it's sort of frustrating just as like an American citizen when you're like, Congress has better things to do. Like, it's not because this isn't important, but because there's not anything they can really do about it other than force people to tell the truth about it and then allow them to continue to self-police, or however this is going to go, because unless Congress is planning to throw Dan Snyder in jail and like seize his assets, including the team, which, spoiler alert, that's not going to happen, any of it. So it would really be up to the league to kind of do what they will with this. It's everybody's chance to say their piece. And it's like, well, we're in front of Congress, so now we know you're telling the truth. Like, if you've lied for this long, I don't know why you would stop now. But anyway, none of this really changes until I guess the NFL sort of changes its stance on the way that it treats labor. And I don't just mean the players union, I mean obviously all the people who work for teams. And until we have something in place, which is never going to happen, but it should, which is some kind of character clause for owners in the NFL, and something that is not just controllable in the sense that, well, as long as all of the other misogynistic, slightly criminal old white dudes say you're okay, then you're still okay. There has to be some other form that this could take. But unfortunately, we're not really set up for that. And as long as the commissioner works at the end for the owners, that's never going to change, which is part of what's so frustrating about this, is that we're just basically putting on like a sort of over-dramatized play of things that we all knew to be true and we're now confirming are true. And then we're all just going to clap at the end and go home, and most likely nothing is going to change.
Yeah. And I've been rooting all along for some sort of thing like Daniel Snyder goes to jail to give us the kind of closure that we need. We're like, okay, no one can abide this anymore, that Snyder has broken some sort of unbreakable rule or forced his, you know, 31-ish Because some of these are still like families and trusts and whatever else, you know, corporate entities, holding companies, whatever. But basically force the 31 other owners to go, we cannot abide this anymore. He's got to be out of the fraternity, out of the collective, out of the cabal. And maybe we're getting there, right? Daniel Snyder being subpoenaed for a further hearing feels like we're making progress in that arena, but it's still, I feel like there has to be something, some sense of this, because at this point he's crossed so many uncrossable lines, broken so many unbreakable rules, dragged the league through the mud in so many different ways. I don't understand how we're still here. I don't understand how Roger Goodell is still effectively defending him and swearing up and down, oh no, this Washington football to the Washington Commanders, with, you know, Dan Snyder's wife as Principal Snyder, and other GMs and people involved. This is a totally different workplace than the one, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It just seems like a totally untenable position to me. And I don't know how we haven't gotten there yet.
Regrettably, though, we've gotten to the end of this podcast. It's been an incredible one with Mina Kimes holding it down from ESPN. And of course, all the great analysis and insight you expect from my partners, Samantha Bunton from NBC Sports, Michael Shoddy from the 33rd team. Me, I'm Ty Schalter from 538, and this is our national NFL podcast, 3 and Out. Check us out at 3outpod.com. Subscribe at 3outpod.com. Follow at 3outpod on Twitter, 3outpod on Instagram, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you get your feeds, all that good stuff. Join us Monday. We're going to do our key takeaways. We usually do it live on Twitter Spaces at 8 Eastern. Check us out on our Twitter feed. It'll be all over that. And then subscribe to make sure you don't miss our next big guest right here on 3 and Out, your national NFL podcast.